It's Cold Brew O'Clock at Wendy's. And right now, you can get a small cold brew for just a buck. Or throw some Frosty Creamer in your cold brew and make your good morning great with a small Wendy's Frosty Chino. It's still just a buck, first thing in the morning or all day long. So ditch that overpriced coffee and say hasta la vista, barista. Choose Wendy's and enjoy a small cold brew or Frosty Chino for just a buck all day long. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary.
KFI AM 640. It's the Gary and Shannon Show. I'm Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And as we look at the pandemic, although here in the United States, we're coming out of it, not everyone is at the same point around the world. And if you look at what's going on in India, some 300,000 new cases each day. More than a quarter of a million people have died in India as of right now. And at this point, it seems to be getting worse. And we wonder, honestly, how that may impact the rest of the world. How that may impact you and me here in the United States, because we talk about the effectiveness of our vaccines, be it Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson. And we have to take into account the longer the virus stays out there, the more likely that it will mutate, the more likely that we will have these variants, which will pose a difficulty for our vaccines, at least in the short term. But speaking more specifically about India, there are those here in Southern California who are trying desperately to offer their own assistance. Like, for example, let me tell you about the restaurant Adya in Anaheim. This week, they're going to be donating 100% of their sales specifically to help out those in India by way of the American India Foundation. And joining me right now as we talk about it on the line are both Chef Shachi Mehra and also Chef Sandeep Basrur. Welcome. How are you today?
Fine, great. Thanks for having us on the show, Mo.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. And Chef Shachi, let me speak with you. It's one thing to read about those numbers. It's one thing to hear about the amount of new cases each day in India. But I'm quite sure that you probably know people who've been directly impacted, know people possibly that you've lost. How are you processing what's going on in India right now?
We definitely know people and have relatives and friends and colleagues that we have lost that are sick but have gotten better. So it's, for us, it really was, what can we do from here? Because you feel, when you hear about it and you read about it, you feel almost helpless, but then you have to figure out a way that you can make a difference, that you can help out. And having a business and having that platform, we really thought of, well, I could make a donation myself personally, but if I involved my community, I could make a bigger difference. And as a community, we can make a massive difference. So we have the two locations, one in Irvine and one in Anaheim. And by donating our sales for a week from both locations, we can really make some real impact on the ground in India.
Chef Sandeep, the same question to you. What about your family? What about your friends? And I know this impacts people in different ways. And this is unfortunately something which has slowly developed in a way that has happened later than what happened over here in the United States. How have you processed, let's say, just the past 3-4 weeks?
It's been pretty tough. With a population of like 1.4 billion in India, it's not been an easy task for the government. You know, the implementation of any public scheme of vaccinations or anything is very difficult. My family, first of all, they're all doing good, but I do have a lot of friends and families, others who have been affected, and I've lost a few of my friends. But most of them are fighting it through. Mm-hmm. we don't hear the positive aspects of, you know, how the people are fighting it over there as much in the media. It's not all that doom and gloom right now. But just the magnitude of the disaster is what, you know, made us think of what we can do from here. So I think that's where Sachi came up with the idea of partnering with AIS, because just us as a unit, we wouldn't have had the same impact unless we partnered with someone who has greater reach, you know, to, and who are already on the grounds in India.
Chef Sachi, since we're talking about the American India Foundation, AIF, how are they specifically going to be able to help those in need in India? In other words, how will our support of your restaurants directly translate to supporting people in need there?
So currently, AIF has been working on the ground just this week, actually. They partnered with FedEx and airlifted oxygen concentrators to Mumbai, which are then being spread out to different hospitals in the area. And then the next phase of what they're doing on the ground is building field hospitals. So they've got all over India. They've been doing sites, figuring out where they're going to put them in as like an addendum to an existing hospital. You have beds that you can add. So it's a field hospital that you build and create. And what they have is they have their contingent here, and they're a national, they're international, but they also have people on the ground in India. So they have the ability to get our donations and everyone else's donations and our money to the right places to actually make a difference somewhere. And every dollar is the equivalent of almost 73 rupees. So every dollar that we collect and donate is going to make a big difference.
And you've said 100% of Adya's restaurant sales from this past Monday, May 10th, through this Sunday, May 16th, will be donated to this cause. And there are multiple locations, correct, where people can donate beyond just
yes.
Restaurant sales? Go ahead and tell me about that, please.
Our restaurant sales from both the Irvine location, which is in University Center, and the Anaheim location, which is in Packing House, through the end of this week, so through Sunday, all of our restaurant sales will be donated. And if anybody can't come to the restaurant and wants to donate directly to AIF, they can donate at AIF.org.
And we'll have all this information on our website at KFIAM640.com. I want to thank Chef Sachi for coming on, as well as Chef Sandeep Basrur. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Our hearts go out to not only you, but the people of India. And thank you for making a way for people to make it through this very difficult time. We salute your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping us
share the word.
Absolutely. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. I'm Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Gary and Shannon Show. I'm Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. And I got to tell you, I'm real excited. Tonight is a really, really big night in Los Angeles. What are you talking about, Mo? What are you talking about? It's a huge night. Don't you know? Don't you know? Do I need to spell it out for you? Well, maybe I do. It's Banner Night here in L.A. Well, what's Banner Night? Well, Banner Night is when they unveil the championship banner for the Los Angeles Lakers, and they delayed it because of COVID, but tonight is the night. At the game against the Houston Rockets later this evening, they will unveil the 17th championship banner of the Los Angeles Lakers, specifically for the fans, now that there are fans at Staples Center. And joining me right now is Eric Sklar, who runs the board, the technical director for the John and Ken Show, and a fellow friend and Laker fan.
I also used to be your technical director.
Yes, that is true. of the Mo Kelly Show. But Eric, this is a big day. You are wearing your Lakers paraphernalia, as you're known to do. What does the 17th championship banner being displayed for the fans mean for you?
Oh, it means a lot. It's the sixth banner that I've gotten, well, we'll get to see raised in my lifetime.
You and I went back and forth during the playoffs because we were concerned about whether the Lakers would be able to pull it off in the bubble, as they called it, and be able to bring it home.
Yeah, they got off to a shaky start in the bubble during those seeding games, but it ended up working out all right.
And I didn't know when I would be able to see another Laker championship, because the last one I saw, obviously, was with Kobe, and they had the big comeback against the Boston Celtics in Game 7.
Yes, oof.
And whenever I see a championship, I always assume that's the last one I'm going to see in my life, because you just never know when it's going to come around again.
Hey, listen, I've always said I'm very spoiled when it comes to being a Laker fan. In my lifetime, like I said, this is number six for me. So
yeah, and just as a parallel, the Dodgers also win a championship within like a 3-month period. Talk about being spoiled, but I say that to say I remember sitting on my college trunk in my apartment sophomore year in college when the Dodgers had last won a World Series prior to this last season.
And this one being my first for being a Dodger fan.
But 30 years in between. So you just don't know when it's going to come around again. And then we have this guy, Tyler, who's running the board today wearing his Boston Red Sox cap. How dare
Go
you,
Sox.
Sir?
Hey, pretty I good will say, year. I will say, since we're talking about lifetime experiences, being able to go to Game 5 of that World Series and actually witnessing the Red Sox win the World Series.
Careful
with my own two eyes.
Don't rub it in. Careful.
My own two eyes.
This is still at LA Station.
It was amazing. I was surrounded by Dodger fans. Don't you worry. I definitely knew where I was, but experience nonetheless.
No, I'm with you amazing. On that. In the sense of being able to partake in that experience in any way, these are usually moments that stick with us for the rest of our lives.
I'm still looking at secondary market tickets for tonight's game somehow if I can get off work in time. I'm still trying to figure out
really
a way to get in there.
You are really cutting close. I mean, because I know when the show ends, and I know when the game begins. There's not a lot of time in between.
Hey, listen, I'm hoping for pandemic traffic to be on my side if I can get in there.
No, it's not going to be on your side. And that was the worst part of everything coming back, because everything's come back with a vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about pandemic traffic, at least prior to the pandemic, everyone was using mass transit. Everyone was using the subway and the buses and even Uber. And now, not so much. People are back in their cars. So you have even more traffic that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis right now, as opposed to before the pandemic. So I'm rooting for you, just like I'm rooting for the Lakers. I'm just saying the odds are not in your favor.
I know. It's a long shot. But hey, just like it's a long shot for the Lakers to win a championship this year, there's still a possibility.
There's a great possibility. And also, allegedly, LeBron is supposed to be back tonight. There's also that.
Yeah. And
coincidence?
From what I've heard, from what players were saying in some post-game talks from a couple of nights ago, he looked good in those scrimmages a couple of days ago, and he's going to be ready to go tonight on banner night. So
all I ask for is a healthy Lakers team. If you have a healthy Lakers team with a healthy LeBron James, a healthy Anthony Davis, a healthy Dennis Schroeder when he comes back from COVID protocol.
Man, that's a whole nother story.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to bet against these Lakers. I believe that they can match up against any team. I don't care what the Brooklyn Nets may have if they get that far. I don't care about Utah. I definitely don't care about Denver because I know of their issues.
Well, and the Lakers just beat Denver and Phoenix without LeBron.
Right. And as far as the Clippers are concerned, I'll never care about the Clippers.
It's the Clippers.
They're the
I'll
Clippers.
Leave it at that.
How can I get concerned about the Clippers? They've never been past the second round ever.
Like you were saying, though, Mo, the health of the Lakers, that's been their number one issue this year. When they were 100% healthy, this team was 21-6. And then Anthony Davis gets hurt on Valentine's Day.
And that's always been a concern. This was actually my concern when LeBron first came to L.A., I wondered if he was not going to have a similar path as Kobe Bryant. What I mean by that is Kobe Bryant,
It wasn't the diminishing of his skills. It was his body beginning to break down. Despite his will, when he got injured, the injuries became more frequent in nature, and they became longer in duration, usually
right.
season ending. Yep. That was
LeBron
my concern.
Said he would never be 100% again.
Right. And when the Lakers originally signed him to that four-year deal, it's like, I'm not worried about the first 2 years. I'm more worried about the last 2 years, which we're in now.
Well, Tyler just said that LeBron said that he's never going to be 100% ever again in his career. And to me, when I saw that, that was such a clickbaity headline because it's like, duh.
Nobody is.
He's
on the other side of 35.
He's in year 18. He's 36 years old. Yes, he spends $1 million on his body a year, but the saying goes, Father Time is undefeated.
But let's look at it another way. Let's say LeBron James is 92%.
I'll take it.
That is better than 98% of the league.
Yeah.
Still. So LeBron James saying that he'll never be 100% again. All right. So he's just one of the top 12 players in the league as opposed to one of the top three?
Hey, if LeBron's in the top 12 and AD's playing like he's in the top five like he has been the last couple of games, I like the Lakers' chances, you know?
Well, I wish you luck, and hopefully your chances will be as good as the Lakers tonight. I want you there to have that experience of the banner being unveiled in front of fans and all of Los Angeles. You, my friend and fellow Laker fan.
I appreciate that.
And happy belated birthday as well.
Oh, well, thank you. And I know I said there's a chance to get in tonight for me. It's just a very small chance. I think I'm going to have to watch it on TV.
Well, maybe you should just ask John. Don't ask Ken, but ask John. Ask John. It's like, hey, can I leave early? You know, just we can have someone else fill in on the board. Do you think he'll go for that?
I don't know. I don't know if that'll slide because Ray's out this week.
Oh, well. Oh.
But thank God we got Misty.
Yeah, I guess you're SOL, as they say.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick to the TV tonight.
This is the Gary and Shannon Show. KFI AM 640, Mo Kelly here. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Gary and Shannon Show. I'm Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. If you listen to me as host of the Mo Kelly Show Saturdays and Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m., we had an extensive discussion months ago about vaccine passports, how they were coming. In other words, I was saying, get ready, they are coming, like them or not, especially in the private sector. If you want to go back to stadiums like the Laker game tonight, if you want to go back to certain colleges, schools, institutions, you're going to have to probably show proof of vaccination. Any major venue, you could expect it. But now the conversation, and I would say controversy, has hit home specifically in Orange County as to these vaccine passports, whether they be digital in nature or they're tactile and physical in nature. Some folks are saying, no way. And KFI's own Corbin Carson is going to update me on the fight against these so-called vaccine passports in Orange County specifically. Corbin, how you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing good. This was quite a scene. Yesterday, we had about maybe 1,000 people show up to the Orange County Board of Supervisors to protest what has been proposed for weeks now, which is a voluntary digital vaccine verification program. Supervisors have stressed that this is not a vaccine passport because when they first called it that weeks and weeks ago when it was proposed, a couple hundred people showed up saying that this was, you know, a gateway into, you know, government tracking you. It was violating several constitutional issues and health privacies, et cetera, their words. And so yesterday, the supervisors have gone week after week trying to change the language to appease people to make it something that they could accept. And then yesterday, this was another chance for this to go forward. And about, like I said, 1,000 people showed up protesting this. The supervisor said this is similar to an airplane ticket. It just makes people easy. It makes it easier for people to carry proof if they want to travel or if a business decides to accept it, like you said, a Laker game tonight. And supervisors say it's helpful for anyone who may have lost their CDC verification card. But yeah, these protesters were not hearing it. Here's a woman I spoke to yesterday during the kerfuffle that went into it. And I gotta just paint you this scene. You had Trump t-shirts on sale, American flags. You had Guy Fawkes masks from the Anonymous, you know, the V for Vendetta movie. You had everything out there showing this anti-government and not necessarily anti-government, but anti-government overreach. And that was kind of the scene as this large crowd spoke for everyone got 30 seconds apiece. So you can imagine that went on for hours. Here's one woman I spoke to outside, kind of encapsulating some of the concerns.
Gotta hit play.
I don't believe you when you say that this is voluntary. And just like if you comply with the mask, you comply with the vaccine, that is a emergency youth authorization where you are the guinea pig. And then you comply with the vaccine passport. Then it leads to the chip. Prior to the chip, it'll be the immunity little passport bracelet with the QR code. So that way, enough is enough. This is the line in the sand. We're not going any further.
And then, yeah, so you heard similar things like that. People brought up several religious concepts. You know, this is the mark of the beast. They talked about this is the USA, not China. It's not communism. Many people were talking about this is an experimental vaccine, and this is a gateway that will allow other businesses to say, hey, look, if you've got the passport, you can come into our business. That will embolden more businesses to do that, in their words. And that was just kind of the, oh, and this also talked, there was also complaints about getting rid of the Orange County healthcare agency chief, public healthcare chief, Dr. Clayton Chow. There was, you know, a lot of anger towards him, saying he's causing this, and also towards the supervisor board, who was still under emergency health orders to approve such contracts as this to make this sort of thing happen. So that was just a long litany of things we heard yesterday.
In your conversations, and this is a real question, in your conversations with these individuals, do they understand that they can be tracked by the very phone that they have in their pocket?
Do they? Oh, the phones, the car, your car that you drive, if your insurance wants to keep up with you. This was brought up for weeks. But, you know, I don't want to just paint this as a completely unruly, crazy, insane crowd. I spoke to a lot of people that, you know, here's a guy that I spoke to him. He said, look, I understand these people out here are crazy. I've got the vaccine. I've had it. I don't have a problem with other vaccines. His issue is that it goes digital, that this is another step. He says, we started with, you know, we were closed down for a couple of weeks, and then it was where the masks were supposed to be voluntary, and then they became mandatory. And his and other people I talked to were saying that this is a progression where government is intruding more and more into the what lives that are the personal decisions of people.
I don't believe you.
Oh, that's the same guy.
It's the other clip. It's the other
clip. Try to get it. Yeah. Right.
The conversations that are happening are fair conversations, right? I have no problem with getting a vaccine and then getting their card and everything like that. What I'm saying is this whole process is opening the door for things that I feel are dubious, right? So, okay, COVID vaccine, but again, why not the flu vaccine? Why not the measles vaccine, right? And so I think that's the conversation where I get that's, you know, like this is what the board is talking about, but I want to take a step back to Staples Center, to Disneyland, to be like, well, gosh, that's creating a two-tiered system of people.
Basically saying that if someone doesn't chooses not to get the vaccine, then they're being outcasted because of this digital vaccine passport, even though, again, it's voluntary and, you know, just supposed to be for convenience.
But do they understand, and this is a real question, do they understand that the driver for this is not necessarily the government, but the private sector? You mentioned Staples Center, you mentioned Disneyland. If you want to get on the plane and American Airlines says, we're not going to let anyone on our plane, or if you want to get on Princess Cruises and Princess Cruises says, we're only allowing vaccinated people in our private business because of legal exposure, don't they understand that that's a choice that they're making, and also private business has that same choice that they can make?
Yeah, they do. And this has been harped on, and, you know, I've done several stories on this. This has been brought up at every supervisor meeting, but from what I'm hearing from people I talk to, they don't care. They're saying that this is too far. You know, one thing that I'll say that I really thought was hilarious yesterday is Supervisor Andrew Doe and Supervisor Don Wagner They both put up a proposal saying, look, let's pause this. This happened early yesterday morning. They discussed it for a while. They said, let's put a pause on it. We're not going to do it. This is while 800 or 900 people are signed up to speak. And then Supervisor Doe looks to the crowd and says, hey, okay, so we're going to listen to you guys. But just so you know, we've already agreed to do what you're going to do. I mean, four people are excited. So you don't have to come speak unless you are supporting digital vaccine passports. To no avail. Everyone still wanted to talk. Everyone still wanted to say. So to me, that kind of encapsulates the idea that this is something people feel very, very passionate about.
I respect the passion, but I also respect where this also exists in our system right now. It just happens to be more specific and digital. I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with you, Corbin, but I would say that how do you expect children to actually get back into school? We have mandatory vaccines and also proof of vaccines just to go to private schools. We have it for going to public schools and also private colleges. I mean, this is not new. I don't know. I understand the desire not to let the government get into our business and, you know, if you want to get the vaccine or not. I don't understand how people don't make the connection between that decision and also having lack of access to private portions of, you know, our society. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, the idea I was told there, because that's a question that was brought up and people have addressed, is first of all, the two things. Number one, their argument in response to that would be the vaccine is experimental. They believe this is not something that, you know, is fully FDA approved and how come it's being forced on them. And then that leads into why are businesses being allowed to do this? The response to that I heard from supervisors was like, look, let the free market decide.
Yes.
Let the free market decide if a business can do this or not. And then the idea in between the two of those ideas was that this digital vaccine passport will, again, embolden these businesses to say, look, everyone else is doing it. Why don't you just join the club? Why don't you just take the chip? Why don't you just become one of us?
Yeah, you can't have it both ways. You can't say I have the choice to not get the vaccine and also tell business that they don't have a choice to say I only want people coming in my business who have the vaccine. You can't have it.
They're
both
not saying
ways.
That. They're saying the county can't do that. The county shouldn't be. The government shouldn't be getting involved in this argument. Again, this is their.
Oh, that's a fair point. I'll concede that. That's a fair point.
And if you got a few more minutes, I don't know where we're at on time. Another kind of aside to this was this thing that's come up a lot in Orange County was this what is called, and I'm using air quotes you can't see, a small group of people that are dictating for a larger group. So many of the supervisors have said during the mask argument, during the close down arguments, or during this digital vaccine argument that this is a loud group that shows up to meetings while quietly text messages, emails, and other constituents are reaching out to each one of these supervisors saying, yes, we do want this voluntary program. I've lost my card. I want something easier. And if you want to hear, this is two supervisors kind of breaking that down. This is Supervisor Katrina Foley, who is new to the board, but she's also did one dissenting vote. So she voted against putting this thing on pause. She's going to explain why. And then Supervisor Don Wagner kind of reacting. I don't know what's going on with my computer today.
Push play.
I know. Oh, where is that? PLA?
The reason for this is to appease a small group of individuals who are against vaccinating and against everything we're trying to do to improve the quality of health of our community. And I don't support that.
My good colleague from District 2 says that we only have a small minority of right-wing activists, anti-vaxxers, etc., who are here speaking to us. All of this discussion is scaring people away. We know that because we both got calls from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
And so I do want to say that Supervisor Foley said, I didn't say right wing. And she argues about saying anything about this being a conservative or right wing, which we just heard she didn't say that. But that's not the point. The point is the argument is that there were people out there saying this is all races. This is all, you know, whatever political side you're on, their words, they're saying there are people that are concerned about government overreach.
Corbin Carson, thank you so much, brother.
Appreciate it, sir.
This is the Gary and Shannon Show, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, it's the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here. Wayne Resnick will be taking over from me to finish out the Gary and Shannon Show at the top of the hour. I just want to tell you a couple of things before we get out of here. I know I was really over in the last segment, but I was in a really important conversation with Corbin Carson. So this is going to be a short segment. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee list is out. And of course, it will inspire controversy. People will have the obligatory conversation like, wait a minute, so-and-so is not rock and roll. Yeah, I know that. Think of it as the Music Hall of Fame. They've had non-rock and roll acts in since the very beginning. So let's skip over that non-discussion. People want to say it every single year because they don't actually know what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is about. That's what it's called, but it encompasses so much more. That's the first thing. And also people will debate the merits of the inductees, and I think that's fair to do. In the performers category, Foo Fighters, I see they're borderline for me. I don't think their total discography is worthy of it. That's just me, and I know people will probably disagree, but I'm not so sure about Foo Fighters. Jay-Z, I think it's a little too early for him. I think when all is said and done, he will have deserved it, but when you're still a performing artist and you're still recording, I'm not so sure. The Go-Go's, I like the Go-Go's. I would think they're more an early influencer, not their body of work. You know, not that they were a novelty. I thought they were groundbreaking as an all-female rock band. But the totality of their music, not all that special. But I understand why they would get that level of consideration. Carole King, definitely yes. Todd Rundgren, I'm not sure. I thought like maybe a couple of hits, but not great. Tina Turner, what do you mean? She's not in already? Tina Turner's just now getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? What the F? The Ahmet Erdogan Award given to non-performing music industry professionals. Clarence Avant, definitely. He is a legend. Musical Excellence Award, LL Cool J. Yeah, I can see that. Billy Preston, very quickly, he used to be the organist at my church. Knew him personally before he died. If you know anything about music, he was considered the fifth Beatle. He musically brilliant. Love that man, absolutely. Randy Rhoads, yes. Early Influence Award, like I was talking about. Kraftwerk, if you know anything about digital, or I should say electronic music, Kraftwerk. Look up the song Tour de France. They were groundbreaking, so most definitely. Gil Scott-Heron, yes, one of the biggest, I would say, influences on rap music as we know it, Gil Scott-Heron. And Charlie Patton, if you don't know, he was a very early blues artist from the early 20th century. So, yes, that's the only real quibble I have is with Foo Fighters. And I'll hear your argument, but I'm not so sure about Foo Fighters. Jay-Z, I'm not a big Jay-Z fan, so I'm going to admit that, yes, Kayla, I am not a big Jay-Z fan.
My feelings are hurt.
I worked in the music industry, okay? I can tell you some stuff.
We got to talk because my feelings are hurt right
Jay-Z
now.
Jay-Z and I are the same age, even though somehow he gets younger, because when he first came into business, he was older than me. Now he's younger than me. I'm not so sure how that happened, but it did happen. In his first album at 26, I was working at Virgin Records at the time. I remember it distinctly. But, you know.
Your age never changed? I think that's pretty normal.
Sounds like you got into the wrong line of work.
I know. My age never changed. He's getting younger. I'm getting older. But, yeah, Tina Turner is just now getting in.
That surprised me because Tina, oh, my God, I mean, Tina.
She didn't come up on someone's list prior to now.
I thought, was she included with Ike, like, in that group before?
I would have to see, but still.
Right. I think she was.
But she became a worldwide phenomenon as a solo artist. Worldwide, selling out complete stadiums. There's a great documentary on Netflix about Tina Turner. It is fantastic. And that tells her whole story from Ike and Tina to when she became just Tina and even the battle to keep her name. But coming up next is Wayne Resnick. Maybe we'll continue this conversation tomorrow. We can really go in depth on these artists. And everyone's shaking their head, yes, so I guess that's what we'll do. Coming up next is Wayne Resnick. This is the Gary and Shannon Show, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.